without a preacher. I believe it is God's desire that there be a preacher in every city.
Amen.
I didn't say a pastor. I said a preacher.
Amen.
And I don't have anything against these pastors here. I think pastor is one of God's gifts that He gives to churches. But I believe it is God's desire that every city have a preacher. You know something? I believe that in the first century, the cities had preachers. I mean, we know Azotus had a preacher. We know Caesarea had a preacher. We know Joppa had a preacher. We know Antioch had a preacher in Pisidia. We know Athens had a preacher. We can just name off hundreds of cities. Did you know that Noah was called a preacher? Jonah was called a preacher. He says, "The Lord told me, go and preach to Nineveh. The preaching that I bid thee." That's what God said to Jonah. Did you know that John the Baptist was a preacher? He came preaching, he said. He just came preaching. Did you know that Jesus Christ came preaching also? He came preaching. Not only that, he said that God anointed him to preach. Anointed me to preach. He said, "The Lord has anointed me to preach." That's an amazing thing. You know, you ought to study out the word preach in the Bible and find out what it says about God's desires in this earth, on this world. I personally believe the printing press is the greatest invention ever invented. I believe it's done more for the advance of everything than any other invention ever that has ever come up. I mean, I believe it outdoes the wheel or whatever else you want to say. There's nothing to compare to the printing press. It's done more good than you can talk about computers or whatever you want to do. We wouldn't have any computers if it weren't for a printing press. We wouldn't have anything. However, God did not anoint Jesus Christ to print the gospel. He anointed Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. Now see, this is an amazing thing, because I find it here. Paul says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, aren't there other ways to hear? Sure there are. There's lots of other ways. I mean, you can hear the gospel by reading a tract. Yes, you can. You can hear the gospel by somebody teaching a class. You can hear the gospel in a one-on-one witnessing situation. Sure you can. You can hear the gospel in 100 ways. But he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's how clear it was to Paul what has to be done with the gospel. And yet all of a sudden in our day it's not so clear. In our day, preaching is not exactly the most popular thing. In fact, it seems silly. And I don't mean it seems silly to the people in the world. It seems silly to Christians. I personally think the people in the world understand the value of preaching, while Christians don't. They don't understand what it is about preaching that makes God excited about it. So much so that He would anoint Jesus Christ to preach. Jesus said, after He preached in one town, He says, "I got to go into some other town. I got to preach there also." He says, "For therefore came I forth." What? To preach in another town. To preach not only in this town, but to preach in that town. Why? Because there are towns without a preacher. There are towns without a preacher. Have you noticed? Do you realize? Now, I'll tell you what. I grew up right here in San Antonio, and I remember going downtown with my father and Jim Campbell and parking the truck right there in front of the Alamo. That's back when you could park the truck in front of the Alamo. But they'd park that truck in front of the Alamo, and me and Eddie, we'd be sitting there passing out tracts, and Jim Campbell would be, I don't know whether he'd stand on the back of the truck or somewhere, whatever they had, but he'd be singing, you know, "Have you counted the cost," or something like that. And then my dad would preach, and then he'd sing, "Count it again," or I don't know what else he'd preach. But I remember there was a preacher in San Antonio. I remember that. I believe that there has been a preacher in San Antonio ever since, at least continuously, from the time that I was born. I remember Larry Davis, who just recently passed away from Town East Baptist Church. I remember, I don't know whether I was driving or what, delivering legal pharmaceuticals. Delivering legal pharmaceuticals to pharmacies. driving by and saw Larry Davis out there standing by a street corner where there was about 10 people waiting for the bus, and he was preaching up a storm. I remember that. I remember I've seen so many people. I remember one time walking downtown, and there was Mike Teague out there just preaching the gospel. Oh man, I said, I want to listen to this. I didn't know Mike Teague. I didn't know anything. As far as I knew, he was some wild cult out there. But there he was, preaching the gospel. And I heard about the purging of sins and all of these things. Oh, it was good. I said, amen, praise the Lord. Next thing I know, I come to the meeting, and I don't know why I hadn't seen him, but there he was in our meeting. And I didn't even know this guy, but I saw him preaching downtown. You see, San Antonio has had preachers. I'll bet you that just about every major town in Texas has had preachers. Fairly consistently. But I imagine there's a few states in this union who have not had preachers. Because, see, preaching's not so popular outside of Texas. And it's not so popular here in Texas either. There's not a whole lot of preachers here in San Antonio, in case you haven't noticed. There's just a few. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I'm not knocking anybody else's ministry. I believe every ministry is good. I mean, I should qualify that, but I believe that there are many ministries which God gives you to have. However, I believe something has happened along the way, and preaching has gotten shortchanged. Preaching has been set aside because preaching just seems too radical or too hick or too old-fashioned or too hellfire and brimstone or too... Redneck. Yeah, very good. We'll take that one. There's something wrong with preaching. I find it amazing. Did you know Peter said Jesus commanded him to preach? Peter said Jesus commanded us to preach. Isn't that amazing? He didn't just command them to get the gospel out any old possible way. He said preach. This is interesting. Paul said that Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach. That's what he said. Jesus said repentance and remission of sins should be preached. It should be preached. Now why? This is amazing. He uses the same word, and this word means the same thing in Greek. It means the same thing. It means to proclaim. It means to put out with your voice. It means to preach. You know what Paul said? He said God separated him from his mother's womb that he might preach the gospel among the heathen. God separated him from his mother's womb that he might preach the gospel. Apparently, it's important to God that there be some preaching, that there be somebody preaching the gospel in every city. However, there are a lot of cities that don't have the gospel being preached. And I don't mean they don't have an evangelical church. I haven't found any cities. I take it back. I found one city in central Mexico that did not have. And I mean a major city. I'm sure that there are some smaller towns that don't have any gospel witness at all. But one major city, 50,000 people, it didn't have an evangelical church in it. Had a Jehovah's Witness assembly for a few years. And then they burned it down and ran them off. That was San Juan de los Lagos. Anyway, I find that there are, even though there are some cities with many churches, I find many, many cities, major cities, without a preacher. Without one person willing to put his face, his reputation, his life on the line and stand out in public and shout the truth. Now, there's probably some resistance to the idea right now. You see, because there's always someone who's not called to preach, and he'll think, well, that's not right that we exalt somebody else's ministry more than we exalt my ministry. And I don't mean to do anything that God doesn't do, but I have a feeling that preaching is more important than most ministries you can name. Preaching. There should be preachers. And that's what we have come to this conclusion. You see, I have printed millions of tracts. I have printed millions of tracts. I have passed out hundreds of thousands of them with my own hand. I remember five of us, Tony and Adrian and me and who was it else? Joe and I don't remember who all it was, but we all went to Mexico City one time, and we spent the night there, and we had boxes of tracks, 45,000 stuffed tracks ready to pass out. That normally would take us about 4 to 5 days of state lists to pass out. We were going to go downtown and pass out all these, and at about 7:30 in the morning, our trailer starts shaking, and we had an earthquake there that you couldn't believe. It shook us, and we were all sick to our stomach. It's an amazing thing. We get downtown and there's glass in all the streets and businesses is falling down and there's everybody in the streets. There are no subways working. There are no buses working. There's just everybody walking out in the street. And we had all these boxes of trash. We got rid of all of them in about 6 hours. Matter of fact, sometimes we had to just start throwing them away so people would quit mobbing us. Just tossing them out there just so they'd all go running for these tracks and they were snatching them up thinking that they were bulletins or something. I don't know what they thought. I believe in passing out tracts. I believe in printing up gospel literature. I believe in passing out gospels to John, and I believe in correspondence school. I believe in all of these things. But I believe also that preaching has gotten shortchanged. There are not enough preachers in this world. But there's a lot of missionaries. You see, over there, Paul one time he said that the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Because back in those days, it was hard for a preacher to make his living by preaching. He had to work on the side. You know, Paul had to do some tent making sometimes and work with his own hands so that he didn't have to ask people for money. And he did it and he preached free. And yet he said the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That there ought to be full-time preachers and preachers who could go out and preach, just preach and not have to be distracted with other things. This was important to Paul at the time. But I believe that if Paul was alive today, and if Paul were to come and see the situation that it is today, with so many missionaries and so many pastors and so much money just flowing out everywhere, there's so much, and yet so few preachers, he'd change that verse. He'd say, I believe that the Lord has ordained that they which live of the gospel should preach the gospel. I believe Paul would change that verse. That they which live of the gospel should preach the gospel.
Amen.
Because you know, let me tell you something. I believe that there's going to be a lot of missionaries come that day when they have to stand before God and He's going to say, did you ever read what I commanded you? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you bother reading it? Did you think I messed up on which word I used? He said, go into all the world. Now somebody will say, well, I don't believe the method's so important. Oh, is that right? You don't think God had a method in mind? Oh, of course He did. He had a method in mind. He had the method in mind. He had the goal in mind. He had all of these things in mind when He said it, when He started, when He did it from the start. That's why all these people were preachers. That's why Amos could say, well, I was no prophet. I didn't know anything until God came to me and said, you go and prophesy to this people. But I want you to know that God knows what preaching is, and God chose that method because it's important to Him. Now, not everybody's called to preach. I'm sorry, there might be some people here that think every man ever got saved was called to preach. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that God calls people to preach. But I believe that somehow preaching, especially public street preaching, which can be very offensive and be very difficult, I believe that's gotten shortchanged somewhere along the line. And I believe that preachers, people that God has called to preach, have come to the point that they will set that unpleasant duty aside because they have convinced themselves that it's not so important. And yet, wasn't it God that said over there in Titus 1, He has manifested His word through preaching? That's what He said. He has manifested His word through preaching. In other words, the method was important to God. He said how He did it. He did it through preaching. Didn't He say over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He said that it has pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe? Oh yes, not only was preaching the method that was important to God, but that it be foolish also was important to God. that there be a foolishness attached with it. That's also important to God. And yet this foolishness is what people run from. Foolishness is what pastors run from. You see? Back from the days back I'll bet you it happened back in times of John the Baptist and whatever, but I know at least in the times of George Whitefield and John Wesley and these people who were not allowed to preach in the parish chapels and what have you, and they had to go out and they were belittled, they were called field preachers. Why? Because they couldn't preach in the chapel. They couldn't preach in these tall buildings that were so reverent and wonderful. And they settled. They would have rather preached in those chapels. Of course they would have. But they had no choice. So they went out and preached in the field. And they preached to 10, 20, 15,000 people at a time. Isn't that an amazing thing? Just in case you misunderstand, I'm going to read just a few verses. I want you to understand what we do and why we do it. It's an important thing to God that we preach. It's important that to God that we stand up and make fools of ourselves for Christ, that we bear His reproach, and that those of us who are called to preach actually do preach. Too many people who are called to preach are not doing the job. Those of us who are called to preach should preach. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. Says, I won't wait for y'all. If you beat me there, that's fine, but I'm going to try to read these on. Says, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bring us good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bring us good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You see, when he commanded them to cry, when he commanded them to preach, he said, lift up your voice. Now, you know that the devils, they whisper. Did you know that? Devils whisper. They murmur. They peep and mutter. That's what the Bible says. The devils do that. But wisdom, it shouts aloud. It cries out in the streets. You understand the difference? You see, nowadays, the idea of wisdom is a meek old Chinese man with a straw in his mouth sitting with his legs crossed up on a hill somewhere. That's not wisdom. Wisdom knows how to open its mouth. There is a saying in Spanish, I don't know if I'll get it right, says, the fool shouts, the intelligent person talks, the wise man keeps quiet. Oh, that's wrong. The wise man doesn't keep quiet. Wisdom crieth in the street. She's out in the street shouting. She's out in the street hollering to the top of her lungs. She utters her voice, it says. Lest we misunderstand, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. How does he want you to preach? He said, lift up your voice. How should you lift up your voice? Like a trumpet! Oh, but we don't like loud preachers. You see, loud preachers, they're hostile. They got problems. We believe that they are just redneck radicals from another century. No, this is what God said. He said to do it that way. Look at Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2. Lest you misunderstand. He says, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I heard a great message, a black preacher preaching right after his wife had died. It was a tremendous message, tremendous thing. But what made me so amazed by this message was at the beginning, Dr. James Dobson was introducing this preacher, and he had to warn his audience that he gets a little bit carried away. Well, of course he gets carried away. First off, his wife has just died and gone to be with glory, and he was excited. He was preaching from the very depths of his heart, and he knew how to raise up his voice and shake his hand or his hanky or whatever else you want to shake. But God said, that's the way I like it. That's the kind of preaching I like to see. You see, God is also a connoisseur of preachers. He tells you not only that you should preach and where to preach, he tells you how loud to preach. He even says, shake your hand a little bit. That's what he said. That's what he said. Look at Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thy hand. That's what he said. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thy hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Oh, you know, God likes an exciting preacher. He likes somebody who gets into his message. He likes somebody who preaches with a little bit of passion and can lift up his hand and can stamp his foot and can slap his pen and slap his Bible and thump and who knows what else he might do, but he does something that gets people excited. Why? Because every single person that has ever been born ought to at least once before they die hear a preacher. They ought to hear a preacher. There's so many missionaries. 60,000 evangelical missionaries supposedly know the truth. But boy, there aren't that many preachers. Where are all the preachers? How come there are so many cities with no preachers? We came to the conclusion that we could not handle. We could not preach to all the cities. We couldn't do it. We had to have some help. That's why we made some of the decisions we made. Because we wanted other people to preach. Just like we were preaching. And in order to do that, we had to give them an example of something they could follow. And that's exactly what we did. We began preaching without any props, in a way that required no money. We never have to write home and say, you know, we need some money to keep on our ministry. No, we need money to live, that's true, but God has always provided that. We've never even had to ask for that. God's always provided. If any of us are in financial trouble, it's our own stupidity. It's our own weakness. It's our own covetousness. It's our own lack of wisdom. No, God's always provided what we needed. He said He would. And he closed the grass. He closed the grass of the field, He says. But too many missionaries get so caught up in having enough equipment and enough things and enough, and they have to ask for money, that they, what they don't realize is that nobody can follow in their footsteps. Nobody can. And I believe a lot of missionaries like it that way. Had a missionary in Guadalajara, had stacks and stacks in one of his rooms. Stacks and stacks of boxes of Bible. But he wouldn't give them to anybody. Because then he wouldn't have them. Jeremiah 11:6. Jeremiah 11:6. Says, then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. Jeremiah 17:19. Says, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Curious thing here is this word gates is the same word in Spanish as doors. And we happen to be preaching in front of the doors of several businesses, and they didn't appreciate that in Aguascalientes, and so they started giving us all kinds of harassment, were arresting us constantly. Finally, they took me to the judge. And I realized what was going on, so I took my Bible in there with me, and we walked in there, and he says, you're not allowed to preach. We just passed an ordinance. You're not allowed to preach in front of those doors, those businesses. And I said, well, the Lord commanded us to. He said, where did the Lord command you to? I opened him to Jeremiah 17:19, says right there, it says, preach in front of their doors. Of course, in Spanish it says doors. It says puertas, which is gates or doors, either one. I didn't even realize it said gates in English till I read it a while ago. That judge looked down at that Bible. He turned it around. He says, you know, it sure does say that. He says, okay, you can go. You see, there was a judge that had more respect for the Bible than most missionaries do. That judge read that Bible one time. I just turned it around and showed it to him, and he said, yes, it says that. You're free to go. You can go preach in front of their doors because you're doing it obeying the Bible. He never had any idea that the Bible said something like that. Sure enough, it did. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Matthew 10, 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. When's the last time you stood up on your house and preached? I think we ought to take God more literally. Yeah? I think we ought to take God more literally. I believe that if Paul were here today, he would say, where are all the preachers? He said, man, when I left, there was lots of preachers. Everywhere I went, there was preachers. I left preachers. When Jesus came, he appointed 12. He said he chose out 12 that he could send them forth to preach. That's what he said. I chose 12 to send them forth to preach. And Jesus, when he left, he had 12 preachers. And they were preachers. They actually preached. Nowadays, preachers don't preach. What happened to it? I think preachers ought to preach. They which live of the gospel should preach the gospel, it seems to me. I believe that's what Paul would say right now. I believe that's what Jesus would say. I believe that's what Noah would say. He'd say, where are the preachers? There should be no town in all of Mexico. There should be no town in Poland where a person would be born, go to school, go to town, get on the bus all his life, and never once run into somebody out there hollering the name of Jesus Christ and how to get saved. Somebody who is sure enough of the gospel that he could stand out and put his face and his reputation and his entire his life on the line and say, this is the way, walking in it. This is the truth. All the others are lies. If there's nobody willing to do that, how are they going to believe? They haven't heard. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Did you know what Paul said? He said, so we preach, and so ye believe. So we preach, and so ye believe. Did you know that preaching causes faith? You stand out on a street corner, and you holler the truth, and it actually plants faith in the hearer. They believe because they heard. Or did you not understand that verse when he says, faith cometh by, not by the word of God, don't misquote it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. You've got to hear. Somebody's got to be willing to stand up and say it. Stand up and shout it. Stand up and stand up for it. Out in public and say, this is the truth. And it puts faith in the hearer, and it causes them to be saved. So we preach, so ye believe. Listen, brethren, there are too many people without a preacher. Too many people without a preacher. That's why we have decided to preach the gospel. We print the gospel. We do correspondence courses. We do all kinds of things. But if there's one thing we refuse to be distracted from, that's preaching the gospel. Just like Paul did, just like Jesus did, just like Noah, just like Jonah, just like Amos, just like John the Baptist and Peter and all of those others. We're going to preach the gospel to those who have not heard.